Good afternoon again. You're listening to the Manitoba Farm Journal here on this Tuesday afternoon as we move into the 1 o'clock hour. Giving up beef would be more beneficial to the planet than giving up your car. That's one of or the type of headlines coming after a new report was published last week by researchers from the U.S. and Israel in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. It's another study saying beef is bad for the environment, arguing we should all cut back on our beef consumption. Reynold Bergen is a science director for the Beef Cattle Research Council, and today for Farm Forum, we asked Reynold for his reaction to this paper.
Well, my initial reaction was, why would this paper be in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, of all things? I mean, typically when we see agricultural stuff, it'll come in an agricultural journal, so that's kind of the first thing that caught my eye. So I went and found this article and read it and didn't recognize the names of these people either, so I thought, well, who are they? So I looked them up, and there are a couple of physicists, apparently, one from New York, one from a university in Israel, and then a couple of grad students who did this analysis of the environmental impact of livestock. So that was just, that's kind of the, in a nutshell, why I was interested in this to begin with.
And you obviously take issue with some of the findings?
Well, I yes and no. I mean, on the one hand, what this paper came out and said was that cattle have a bigger impact on the environment than chickens or pigs or eggs or milk. And that's not really news to anybody. I mean, cows are big, so they eat more, and they live longer, so they drink more water, and they eat more forage, and so they produce more methane. A lot of this isn't new. There's a couple of things in here that are a little bit more problematic, though, and one of them is that they state really clearly, and it's true, that we don't have good numbers for any of this stuff. So how do they come up with a pinpoint estimate of how bad everything is, right? So, there's just a couple of things that don't add up. And so one of them being that we don't have really good numbers for these things. So, okay, if you don't have good numbers for these things, what you need to do is get good numbers. And they didn't make an effort to do that. What they did was they went back to a 2010 paper where they kind of modeled beef production in Iowa, and then they extrapolated it to the whole U.S. And the problem is that beef production in, say, Iowa won't reflect the way cattle are raised in Vermont or Colorado. And the authors actually admit that, but they go ahead and do it anyway, and then come out with this kind of an indictment that doesn't really hold water because they're not saying anything new. Now, what we're doing is we agree there aren't a lot of really good numbers. We think there are some numbers out there, and what we're doing is funding a study. Ag Canada is doing it. It's co-funded by us and Agriculture Canada. And what they're doing is they're doing kind of a historical assessment of how has the beef industry's environmental footprint changed over the years in terms of water use and feed use and methane production and manure production and all the rest of it. And so some of that is going to be done based on how industry practices have changed, but some of it is actually going to be looking back at old research data that's been collected over the years. So typically in a research project, they'll have kind of the control group of cattle that are raised according to industry standard at the time. So that sort of provides them with sort of the benchmark, and if they're collecting, greenhouse gas data, which they have been collecting for a number of years, and if they have feed intake data, which they've collected for a long time, or manure production, they can look backwards and see how things have come. So it's going to be an attempt to see how the industry has changed in terms of its environmental impact, but they're doing more because they're not just looking at things like the resources we use or the manure we produce or the methane we produce. They're also going to be looking at some of the positive contributions as well, because we know that when grass is growing, when you see tall green grass, there's big, long, healthy roots underneath, too. And what those big, healthy roots underneath the ground are that's carbon sequestration. Those plants are taking carbon out of the air and storing it in the soil. So with pastures, you get healthy pastures, you get good carbon sequestration. And that sort of thing didn't get reflected in this new study, this one that came out last week. And these researchers are also collaborating with some biodiversity experts to look at, well, okay, we look at these pastures. When you're driving down the road, there's a thousand different kinds of plant in there, and there's songbirds in there, and there's gophers and coyotes and deer and all the rest of it. And those sorts of things will thrive in a pasture, but they may not thrive in a canola field, right, because you know, we'll spray to get rid of that sort of thing. So the beef industry has environmental impacts, but it has environmental benefits too, and we just want some balance to the story.
So that, I guess maybe that leads or is partly an answer to my next question then. When there are studies like this that come out or environmental initiatives that say we should be eating less beef, what should the message be from the beef industry in a way that doesn't sound like you're completely on the defensive?
That's a good question, and I'm going to answer it in two parts. And one is that this paper we're responding to because it came out in a high-profile, highly respected journal, and so things that come out of journals like this tend to get taken pretty seriously. Personally, I think they made a mistake by publishing this. This is not good science. It doesn't deserve to be in there. So we needed to respond to this. Now, in terms of the impact how beef producers can respond to this when they're dealing with people in the supermarket, just tell them what you do. Tell them why you do what you do, that you care about how you raise your animals, that you care about the environment, and that's why this operation's been in your family for several generations, is because you take care of the land and take care of the environment and take care of, you know, the business you're in. My message to whatever consumers are listening to this is that, well, you know, big headlines like this grab attention, you know, whereas if somebody put out a report saying, eat a healthy, balanced diet, that's not going to get the headline anywhere. So I mean, the at the end of the day, eat a balanced, healthy diet, but if you really want to make a diet-related choice that's going to benefit the environment, be careful about how much you throw away, because North Americans and throughout the world, I mean, a lot of the food you buy, you know, tends to get, you know, turn into compost in the bottom of your fridge and then get thrown out and never get eaten. Eat stuff before it goes bad in your fridge, and don't put more on your plate than you're going to eat. That's the biggest thing you can do to not waste resources.
That was Reynold Bergen. He is the science director for the Beef Cattle Research Council. You can find out more on their response to this paper, this report looking at the environmental impact of beef consumption, on their website, beefresearch.ca, including a blog post entitled, Hot Air Doesn't Just Come From Cattle. Another look at what's happening in the markets this afternoon is on the way in just a moment.